You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
President's Day of all days, yeah. Happy President's Day to everybody. Welcome to All Marine Radio. Hope everybody's doing good out there. Had a good weekend. I guess it's still the weekend, right? A lot of people aren't working today. Federal government not working today. So you got that going for you. Got a chance to take advantage of all the sales with President's Day. You know you got to do that. Yeah, so happy President's Day to everybody. On a day we celebrate, what presidents do we still celebrate? Does that keep moving around? Obviously, Lincoln, Washington. Who else? Is it all presidents? Not all presidents. I used to know. Not so much anymore, man. Not so much anymore. So let's look it up. And I have to tell you, I woke up this morning at I don't know what time. I mean, I don't sleep through the night very well. And I woke up, and I don't know, for some reason, like, post-traumatic winning was in my head. And then, like, I started having, like connecting the dots things on things I hadn't really linked together before. And so, so I start writing down and dictating stuff. And I've learned to do this because I've had these kind of moments in the middle of the night, and then I didn't write them down. Then I wake up later and I'm like, what the hell happened, man? That was a great thought. Now I can't remember what the hell I did. So then I started dictating. I'll share some of that with you. The I just have to make a quick comment about, you know, Mike Bloomberg's a candidate to be the president, right? And I've described our current president. That dude's a train wreck. Well, Mike Bloomberg not far behind him, man. some of the stuff that has come out of that guy's mouth, you know, and the lay, I don't know if you saw it, but over the weekend, you know, he was disparaging factory workers and farm workers. Not really a lot of gray matter, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, dude, are you kidding me? And so, again, we'll see. In fact, you know, can America look the other way on all of this? And my opinion is, yeah, it depends on your political party, but absolutely America can. America already has. So, yeah. But again, it's surprising some of the stuff that, I mean, did he not know there was a microphone in front of him? And the answer is, oh, no, he's sitting in front of the microphone. So he knew it was on. Nah, he must not have thought it was live. Oh, no, he thought it was live. So I don't know. It's like, did he think it was funny? Anyway, so I don't know. It's just some. Relative to Mike Bloomberg, I mean, he strikes me as a polished guy. I'm surprised at the stuff that continues to surface relative to what he does. And trust me, they go back and, right, they look at everything you do in your life now. So, yeah, you might want to delete your Twitter account before you get famous. Yeah, all of you that are listening that might become famous someday. So that's going on. And then my weekend. Colleen and I ran errands yesterday. Actually, it was really good. Went down and got a haircut. Yeah, they're not very much male pattern baldness. Yeah, it sucks. So I went back to my short haircut, my Marine Corps haircut. And so I did that. And then Colleen and I went down to San Clemente, and I got my haircut. And then we went to get some graph paper. I'm a huge fan of graph paper. It helps me doodle. I use it every day. I map out my day. There's boxes. They get connected to other things, blah, 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 blah. So I had to do that because I was running out. And I wanted to get that before I go to Denver. I think I'm going to Denver tomorrow, but I don't have a ticket yet, so I don't know what they're doing. Anyhow, I hope something happens tomorrow. Or at least in the short term, to get a plane ticket. Then I get a phone call from the bank, or a text message from my bank. Somebody in England is using your credit card, your debit card. Do you own these transactions? Text, no. Right? Call this number immediately. So I call. And I talked to this woman, and she was absolutely wonderful. It's amazing how... And I said, well, how does this happen? She said, well, you went to a gas station, right? She said, on this date? And I said, yeah. She said, that gas station is corrupted. That machine, they have some kind of software in the machine that's stealing and transmitting, or however they do that, cards and passwords. She said, yeah, I noticed that. And I said, wow. And I said, how'd you notice it? She said, well, they started putting transactions through really quick. And so we noticed it fairly quickly. So anyway, you got no ATM card anymore. No debit card. I'm like, that's fantastic. So anyway, Colleen and I set out to run errands. And then I bought a nice suitcase in November because of the traveling I do. But the suitcase, one of the zippers broke. You know, it's like where you have it all the way zipped and then it comes unzipped behind the zipper and you can't get the zipper back. Sometimes you could force the zipper and I could not, as hard as I tried. So I went to Macy's. I have to give a shout out to Macy's today because I went there and my ex used to work at Macy's. I said, hey, how long could I keep this thing before they don't honor it anymore? And she said, well, it used to be 180 days at Macy's, and then they cut it back to 90. So I went in there, and they took it back, and they said, you know, we've cut our warranty back to 60 days. Now the company has this thing has a lifetime guarantee with them for parts and workmanship. And I knew that. I was just hoping I didn't have to do that, which would entail weeks, right? So anyway, so I got a new suitcase. And then I had a gift certificate, since I couldn't go buy dinner because I couldn't use my ATM. I had a gift certificate for a butcher shop. Yeah, called The Butchery in Newport Beach from my son and his fiance, Patrick and Sarah. So we went down and we crushed that. We got, you know, I often say that steak, right? Having good steak starts with buying good steak. And so we bought, I don't know, we bought a ribeye steak. Colleen and I bought a ribeye steak. It was like, what, $26 a pound? And what do you normally pay, like $10 a pound, if that, in the store? So anyway, so Catherine came over and we grilled steaks. And I have to say this. I normally don't, like, I know what I've said and I know how the chef says to do it. But I in my head, I'll pile a certain amount of charcoal up and I'll say, oh, that's good. Well, actually, it's not. Because it's not enough charcoal to sear the steak. Now, it's enough, though, that I can cook it and then flip it but and leave it over direct heat the whole time, and it ultimately it cooks. But it's not in keeping with how the chef has taught me. And I don't know why I do that. So last night, I dumped a bunch of charcoal and too much. And I thought, no, that's what I'm going to use. So I, you know, I lit it and... it was better. I'm not going to lie to you. When I'm following the chef's directions, always a good thing. But it requires more charcoal than I normally use. So that turned out good. So dinner was good. And the girls, always good in the kitchen. Yeah. They're we have a family. Our son started it. But they became dishwashers. So after we have big meals like Thanksgiving and Christmas, like everybody kind of piles to into the kitchen. And we put music on, and everybody helps. You're either washing or you're drying. If John's around, John is a dishwashing machine. He is. Not going to lie to you, man. And it doesn't matter. John will annihilate. If you have, like, stubborn spots on pots and pans, John will crush them. So as long as you have a little bit of steel wool and the appropriate stuff... And, no, so the boys kind of started it, John and Patrick, because they both were dishwashers for the chef. And then, so the girls, they take pride in it. And so, so they hopped in, they did the dishes. And, I don't know if you've seen it, but, Ken Burns did this thing about, our American heritage and stuff like that. So it's kind of biographies of different people. And he did one about, Lewis and Clark and the Lewis and Clark expedition. It's probably 3 hours long. And I watched, I fell asleep watching that last night. I couldn't finish it. So I watched that. So anyway, but I was happy cause I got my suitcase and everything ready. And, hopefully, everything works out tomorrow, but I don't think anybody, no federal employees are working today, and I don't have a plane. They haven't sent me a plane ticket yet, so we're going to see how this thing works. We're going to see how this thing works out, if it works out, and hopefully it will. So hopefully tomorrow I fly to Denver and then do post-traumatic winning, which I'm excited about doing because I think improved the way I articulate it. So I'm excited about that. I want to share with you, and I need to, should I do it now or during this? Let me start the show and then I'll share this to you in the context of one of the news stories that's in the news, right? And that is the effectiveness of treatments. Right? That is the effectiveness of treatment for PTSD, which I find which I find amusing. And I don't want to bash again on PhDs, but I'm probably going to, right? All those, the statistics that just came out relative to PTSD, yeah, all those are given to you by the PhDs that run the DOD's, you know, mental health programs. And, you know, what I've learned, and they take great umbrage with this, right? And I think they're probably the biggest impediment to post-traumatic winning spreading quicker. But the truth is this. They are a great impediment. And just because you have a mental health program doesn't mean you have a good one. And at some point, you have to reconcile yourselves with the statistics. It ain't working and you need to go. But that means a commanding officer has to step in front of somebody and say, I'm going to take control of this. And then you'll own the outcome, which requires a little bit of moral courage. I think it's easier and I think it's safer to go ahead and let the PhD do their thing, right? And then at least we have them to point at. Yeah, he or she said this, and so that's what we're doing, right? Or big Marine Corps said this, that's why I'm doing that. In the meantime, those numbers continue to go up. So anyway, I want to talk about an article I saw, and so we'll do that. But anyway, let me start the program. Weekend Chow from Ohio, man. The boy and I did ribeyes on the Big Green Egg last night. It's our Sunday ritual. On Saturday, we had some outstanding brisket at a hole-in-the-wall barbecue I found in rural central Ohio. Hole-in-the-wall chow is always a good thing. Always a good thing. Not going to lie to you. Okay? Not going to lie to you. All right. We'll kick this program off officially right here. There's not as normal when you have holidays like today. Not so much news. But I've dredged up enough of it. There's enough to talk about. And then Andy Milburn's going to join us. We're going to talk to Andy about a few things. We're going to talk about him, about the MARSOC dude, about them going to everybody going to the East Coast. Is there any reason for that? So we'll talk to Andy about that. And then I'm trying to think what else. We're going to get his thoughts on the latest kind of churn coming out of Africa. And then he just gave a talk at Command and Staff recently about when it is your duty to disobey orders. So first of all, I think it's awesome that they would have Andy come and talk about that. Second of all, so we'll hear about that too. So Raiders going to Camp Lejeune. Two additional thoughts on soft security since he was just around things in Africa and in Somalia. So we'll talk to him about that, and then what happened at Command and Staff. So we'll talk to Andy Milburn here. And then tomorrow, Grant Newsham going to join us. We'll talk to Grant about the coronavirus and what impact that has. Why has North Korea, man, gone to ground? Did the Chinese tell him to back off, right? Interesting. All of a sudden, that guy's nowhere. Why? Because he just doesn't want to talk? Well, interesting. The choreography is interesting. So, good morning to you on a Monday. Welcome to a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. You are listening to All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network, but you don't need to hear that. You need to hear this. And this is dedicated to all you PhDs out there, if you're listening, which I hope you are. If you're not, you should be, because you would learn a lot about the people that you're taking care of. So, again, I think those statistics go up because they don't know the people they take care of. I think those statistics go up because they create programs that Marines hate. And all you have to do is listen when they come on. Oh, my God. And I heard the same thing up in Las Vegas. Oh, my God. You should see the shit we have to sit through. It's the stupidest shit in the world. Right? So this is hopefully to inspire you to be better, to go have a conversation with them, to go have a real conversation that maybe might generate real programming that might really help them. It might really turn that number around, right? Or just come to post-traumatic winning, and you could cut right to the head of the line. Yeah. All right. Here you go. This is dedicated to you.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I didn't dream about Neller last night. Yeah. He and I were talking about post-traumatic winning. And and then he kind of like dropped the conversation and walked away. And I was pissed. Yeah, no kidding. I was pissed. And this is after I'd woken up and I'd written about post-traumatic winning. So then I had a conversation and he just kind of dropped it and walked away. And I was pissed. And then Adam Driver showed up. And he wanted to, like, I was driving and he had a pistol in his hand. And I'm driving towards him, and he raises his pistol. I hit the gas. He goes flying. Yeah, this night, I shit you not. And then, I don't know, some craziness happened. I got out of the car. Then I got back in the car. There's a bunch of little kids. It was crazy. Yeah, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I don't know. I don't know the crazy dreams. Yeah, all I wanted to do was try to get back to sleep. Currently sunny and 48 in Quantico. And then it is sunny and 56 at Camp Lejeune. So the East Coast. moderate temperatures are today. In 29 Palms, it's straight up warm. Sunny and 60 already. Yeah. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 50. Camp Smith and Y, dark cloudy and 68. Okinawa, dark cloudy 54. In Afghanistan, it is dark cloudy 52. Afghanistan's warmed up. And Ramadi in Iraq, they've warmed up. Clear, dark, and 57. So everybody warmer across the board. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, it is foggy and 53. Looking for a high of 70 today, 71 tomorrow, and 68 on Wednesday. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines, and then I'll share with you some thoughts on some stuff I wrote down at like 2 something in the morning. So you know it's going to be good stuff. Anyway, more of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Francis Albert Sinatra, otherwise known as the chairman of the board. It lingered there to touch your. It's flooding in Mississippi. Yeah, and Fox News just did a shot from Mississippi. And they had this dude standing in the middle of this water, and the water's not moving or anything. He's just standing there. He's not walking. It looked ridiculous, just for the record. But, you know, you got to do that. You got to dramatize everything so people will watch it. But it just looks stupid. Standing there and waders, right? Got to have those on. And and it sounded like, it looked like somebody told him, hey, man, you need to move, right? You need to move. And then all of a sudden he's like, he starts moving. So anyway, all right, let's get rid of Frank, okay? One day. There you go. All right, Frank's done. Let me just some news stories, and I'll get to the news story I really want to get to, and then I'll go off on that. Headlines. Taliban says a peace deal with the U.S. to be signed at the end of the month. Yeah, now again, before you go by your flag and get ready for the big parade, just remember, you know, the Taliban ain't one thing. It's many things, and they don't always act in concert, and that's how the thing unravels. So, you know, stand by. Don't go by the flag yet, okay? Well, you still already have one, but, you know, your parade flag, don't go out and buy that. Don't make that investment yet. The Taliban said today that a peace deal with the United States will be signed by the end of the month, and the top U.S. negotiator describing himself as cautiously optimistic about the process. Mullah Abdul Salam Hafani, a senior Taliban leader and member of the political commission in Doha, Qatar, said in a video message shared with journalists that after negotiations, quote, both sides have initiated the final draft of the peace agreement. Now talks are concluded. This is the first formal statement released by the Taliban since the United States announced a peace deal with the movement on Friday. Hanafi said both sides have agreed to, this is a quote, to sign the agreement by the end of this month after making a favorable environment before signing the agreement. What Hanafi appears to be describing is what U.S. negotiators and Afghan government officials are calling a period of reduced violence that approximates a ceasefire that will last 7 days. And the question is, will that happen? Will that happen? And here's another question. Will groups like ISIS, right? Will groups like ISIS, will they then go ahead and attempt to create violent activity in order to subvert the peace? In his first public comment since peace talks were announced, U.S. envoy Zalmay Khalilzad, the chief negotiator with the Taliban, said he is cautiously optimistic. Quote, but I'm realistic enough to know that there's a lot of challenges ahead, he added. Khalilzad said that while he had received security guarantees from both the Afghan government and the Taliban, the potential remained for spoilers both inside Afghanistan and outside the country to upend months of diplomatic progress. Quote, I believe that, maybe better than any time in the last couple of decades, there is an opportunity for peace, he said, speaking in Islamabad at a United Nations conference on refugees, marking 40 years of conflict in Afghanistan. Amazing. Amazing at some point that people wouldn't just say, hey, enough is enough already. I have to sneeze. Not anymore. All right. Sad story. One of the three remaining survivors of the attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th, who was aboard the USS Arizona, died at the age of 97. His name is Donald Stratton. He was severely burned while aboard the U.S. Arizona on December 7th, 1941. His passing leaves only two survivors, Luke Conter and Ken Potts. Stratton's wife of 69 years, Velma, and son Randy announced his death in a Facebook post on Sunday, saying that they were beside him when he passed away peacefully. One of Donald's final wishes was that people remember Pearl Harbor and the men aboard the USS Arizona, the posting said. Share your story and never forget those who gave all for our great country. In 2016, Stratton published a memoir, All Gallant Men, recounting the surprise attack and his injuries, his recovery, and subsequent return to combat in World War II. Stratton often summed up the happen chance of being aboard the U.S. Arizona on that morning of the attack with, everybody had to be someplace, we were there. You know what? And honestly, that sounds, you know, kind of like trivializing it, but it's not, because you look for a reason and the answer is there is no reason. And a lot of people can't get beyond that. There's got to be a reason that I was there. Well, what happens if there's not? What happens if, like Don Stratton says, everybody had to be someplace and that's just where you were? Okay. And there isn't a whole lot more to it than that. He was born on July 14th, 1922, raised in the small Nebraska town of Red Cloud, joined the Navy in the fall of 1940. He wrote in his memoir, which was co-authored by a guy named Ken Geyer. Within a couple of months of joining the Navy, he was one of the roughly 1,500 men serving aboard the USS Arizona. He was assigned to one of the ship's five port side, that would be left side, anti-aircraft guns. Now, the starboard side of the ship was the landward side, if I'm not mistaken, on the Arizona. And so he would have been actively engaged on the morning of December 7th. He stepped onto the outside deck, catching sight of Japanese dive bombers attacking Ford Island, the berthing point of eight massive warships on Battleship Row, the USS California, the USS Maryland, the USS Nevada, the USS Oklahoma, the USS Pennsylvania, the USS Tennessee, the USS West Virginia, and the USS Arizona. With no time to fire up the Arizona boilers and steam out of port, the ship's broadside became an easy target. At one point, a bomb ignited the forward magazines, causing a catastrophic explosion. That's the one you see on film and now video repeatedly. Men stumbled around the deck like human torches. This is a quote from him. Each collapsing onto a flaming pile of flesh, Stratton wrote. Others jumped into the water. When they did, you could hear them sizzle. My T-shirt had caught fire, burning my arms, my back. My legs were burned from ankles to thigh. My face was seared. The hair on my head had been singed off, and part of my ear was gone. Stratton and a handful of sailors huddled together likely would have died if not for a sailor aboard a nearby repair ship, the Vestal, who managed to toss a rope across to the burning ship. We had to go hand over hand on that line. It was probably 70 or 80 feet, Stratton wrote. You know, you get in the middle of that line, it starts uphill again. That was really tough, with my hands and everything being burned. About 2 weeks after the attack, he was transferred to a hospital specializing in burn treatment on Mare Island near San Francisco to begin his long recovery, which included treatments using maggots to eat away the dead and diseased skin left from the burns. Can you imagine that? He was medically discharged from the Navy in September 1942 and returned to Red Cloud. But as the following weeks passed in his hometown, he became to realize that everything innocent and trusting and carefree had been ripped away from him with the attack, and he was overwhelmed with the urge to be back in the Navy. He was allowed to reenlist in February of 1944, but was required to repeat basic training. Back aboard ship, he saw action in New Guinea, the Philippines, and off the coast of Okinawa. He left the Navy at the war's end, but he couldn't give up the sea. He worked for a diving company off the coast of California and later on an oil drilling rig at sea. He he will be buried in Nebraska. The let me just tell you, I don't mean to blast the Navy this morning, but how chicken shit is that? You want to come back in? I was aboard the USS Arizona. I got burned over much of my body. Yeah, you know, all that's good, but you still got to go through recruit training. Wow. Well, again, Donald Stratton, one of three remaining USS Arizona sailors, passed away over the weekend. BB-39 was the USS Arizona. So God bless him. God bless his family. And God bless his wife of 69 years. You don't read that very often. Trading quarantines, Americans from a cruise land in the United States. So if you've been following the different cruise ships around the world who are not being allowed into countries, Americans have been identified on those, some of those ships, and have been evacuated now to the United States. Two charter flights carrying cruise ship passengers from Japan landed at military bases in California and Texas overnight, starting the clock on a quarantine period to ensure passengers don't have the new virus that's been spread in Asia. A plane carrying American passengers touched down at Travis Air Force Base in Northern California just before 11:30 p.m. on Sunday, local time in California. A second flight arrived at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas about 2.5 hours later, early Monday. Japan's Defense Minister Taro Kono had tweeted earlier that Japanese troops helped transport 340 U.S. passengers on 14 buses from Yokohama Port to Tokyo's Haneda Airport. About 380 Americans were on that cruise ship. The U.S. said it arranged the evacuation because people on the Diamond Princess were at a high risk of exposure to the virus. For departing Americans, the evacuation cut short a 14-day quarantine that began aboard the cruise ship on February 5th. So there you go, your government in action. Nice going. Another headline, Stars and Stripes. A small Polish village near a Russian enclave. In a small Polish village near a Russian enclave, U.S.-led NATO battle group is ready in case anything happens. Picture of a series of strikers rolling down the road in Poland with some people standing out there watching. When American troops first deployed to northeast Poland in 2017 to lead a NATO exercise, Forward Presence Battle Group, the population of the village in Bamowo Piski grew by a third overnight. Nearly 3 years later, locals have grown used to the military presence and the occasional columns of tanks that pass through the village. Some say having the Americans in the village, which lies just south of the strategic Suwalki Corridor, a border area between Poland and Lithuania that is sandwiched between Belarus, and the Russian enclave of Kaliningrad, makes them feel safer. Others just like having them around. Quote, American soldiers in Bamowo Piski enjoy being here, and we like having them, said Kate, a villager who didn't want to give her last name. You don't hear that. You don't hear that very often. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, the United States Army in Eastern Europe. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper tells Europe to wake up to a China that seeks to dominate. Like, how does Europe miss this? And you know what it is? They don't miss it. They discount it because China has communicated with them. If you play that American game, we will not allow you to sell into this country. That's why they have to join the United States when the United States, you know, says, yeah, we're going to tariff your products. And this is the game that China plays. Quote, it is essentially that we, as an international community, wake up to the challenges presented by China's manipulation of longstanding international rules-based order. Esper railed against China for intellectual property theft and using its economic heft as leverage against countries large and small. Esper also emphasized that when it comes to U.S. military strategy, countering China comes before all else. By 2035, the People's Republic of China intends to complete its military modernization, and by 2049, it seeks to dominate Asia as a preeminent global military power. I just, you know, to me, it's not that Europe doesn't see it, right? It's that Europe doesn't want to pay the price that they're going to have to pay to do this. And so it'll be really interesting because evidently the president had a phone call with Boris Johnson, right, the new prime minister of the UK, and it did not go well, right? And the whole Five Eye thing. Yeah, the whole Five Eye thing, us sharing intelligence. Evidently, the president of the United States told Boris Johnson, you don't really need to be a part of that. All right, a couple of headlines. There's a report that came out over the weekend. U.S. Sealift lacks personnel, hulls, H-U-L-L-S, as in ships, and a national strategy. Now, that's stunning. We just exercised all of this. Okay? How do we not have a strategy? How do we not have the personnel? I mean, we're paying billions of dollars every year for that. So anyway, let me gloss over. There's an interesting article written by Todd South, former Marine. Are heavier ground combat units better than light forces and airstrikes? In recent years, the Army has stationed more troops in Europe to balance against Russia and also increase temporary Pacific rotations, while the Marine Corps is throwing much of its weight into highly mobile distributed units to counter China. But which approach is more likely to keep either adversary in check? A recently released RAND Corporation report has found that a combination of heavy ground forces and air defense in theater, but not necessarily on the front lines, had the best effect in deterring conflict. Oh, well, holy shit. So anyway, that article's pretty interesting. I don't really want to go into it because I'm running out of time, and Andy's going to join us here. Next headline. The U.S. Navy's budget looks headed for the congressional shredder. This is from Friday. Lawmakers are lining up to slam the Navy's fiscal 2021 budget submission, saying it calls for a significant cut to shipbuilding and slows the fleet's rate of growth over the next 5 years. A bipartisan group of 17 senators is warning the Navy that its decision not to seek a second Virginia-class submarine in fiscal year 21 would contradict the national defense strategy, weaken the defense industrial base, and compromise Navy readiness. Now, I tell you that because the Marine Corps wants to do really, you know, interesting things. So we'll see. The Congress already not happy with the Navy. President Trump wants to be less reliant on GPS with new executive order. That kind of caught my eye. It is the policy of the United States to ensure that disruption or manipulation of GPS services does not undermine the reliable and efficient functioning of its critical infrastructure, the executive order reads. And it talks about PNT infrastructure, which is position, navigation, and timing infrastructure. The federal government must increase the nation's awareness of the extent to which critical infrastructure depends on or is enhanced by PNT services. To this end, the federal government shall engage the public and private sectors to identify and promote responsible use of PNT. So anyway, much concern. Right? Much concern. There's a Booz Allen guy named Kevin Coggins. Quote, yesterday's executive order signals that the U.S. is taking steps to mitigate the threat of disruption to critical infrastructure that relies on PNT services. This is an important step forward for our national security because the global positioning system is among the world's most used utilities, yet it is increasingly vulnerable to disruption and cyber attacks. So that's kind of interesting. Now, this is what I wanted to get to. Wounded Warrior Project. PTSD is treatable. All right. A recent study conducted by researchers at New York University and published in the Journal of American Medical Association has led many to believe that the leading evidence-based psychotherapies for PTSD do not work for up to two-thirds of the patients. Our findings at Wounded Warrior Project show a very different result for veterans participating in our 2- and 3-week intensive outpatient provided by our Warrior Care Network Academic Medical Center partners at Emory University in Massachusetts General Hospital, Rush University, and UCLA Health. They are all tailored combinations of evidence-based, complementary, and alternative therapies within the IOP. Within the IOP, veterans received up to 70 hours of direct clinical care, more than a year's worth of traditional therapy. For the almost 2,000 veterans who have completed that, so just so you know, this is a Wounded Warrior Project piece, right? Written by Wounded Warrior Project. So anyway, I wanted to bring that, the data point before they argue how good they are. Yeah, which would be, I don't know, Wounded Warrior comes with a lot of baggage. So anyway, I will refrain from commenting about them. Okay. So a recent study says 66% of those treatments that are used to treat for PTSD are not effective. Now, so I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm thinking about for whatever reason, my brain is thinking about post-traumatic winning. Okay. So I wrote this down and this is the order in which I did it. Okay. Title: Knowing Your Marines, Special Trust and Confidence. If you don't love your Marines, you should really get out. Okay, so you've heard these discussions about some of these topics. How can you know your Marines if you don't see them? How can you know them if you simply pass word via text message and see them maybe once a week? The truth is, you don't know them. Knowing your Marines starts with seeing them. And if you're part of that whole text message event, then you're going to get out of it what you put into it, which is nothing. We've all heard the term special trust and confidence. It's in our commissioning documents and it's in our promotion warrants. What does it mean and who is it with? Most Marines would say it's something that Congress bestows on us, but I reject that notion. Special trust and confidence is the bond that exists between leaders in the American military and their spouses, their mothers and fathers, their sisters and brothers, and their children, that we do everything in our power to enable them to be great performers and to come home in one piece and to be able to resume living the life that they want to live. That's what special trust and confidence is. It is not between the United States military and the United States Congress. It's between the leaders of the United States military at all levels and the people who give us their sons and daughters to lead, who give us their mothers and fathers, who give us their sisters and brothers. All of that. That's where special trust and confidence exists. If you don't know that, right? If you don't do that, if you don't see them, if you don't know them, you're failing as a leader. And this is one of the things that fuels the suicide statistics inside the DOD. One of the things that changed in the 2nd Marine Division was the commanding general mandated that they have 2 formations a day. And so unofficially, 2nd Marine Division suicide went down 50%. 50%. Suicide attempts went down 50%. Suicide ideations, I think, went up 47%. All right, those are big numbers. Okay? part of the reason why that happened was they started seeing their Marines more. No doubt in my mind. Next thing I wrote, right? So then I tried to go back to sleep. Then this came into my head. Give a shit coaching and mentoring. What Marines need, what everybody needs, is coaches and mentors who give a shit. And if you're passing information via text window, you're part of the problem. It's not how you know people. It's not how you love them. In fact, I would go as far to say you're not even a leader. You're nominally in charge of those people, but you're certainly not a leader. Leaders have always given a shit about the people they lead. Great leaders give a huge shit about the people they lead. And if you're not doing that, you've got to get there. Why they're killing themselves is the next one I woke up and wrote. The higher rate of suicide happens because they don't think anybody gives a shit about them. They don't think you know them, right? They don't think you give a shit. And so they're isolated. And you can't understand what they're going through. And that notion that they have in their head is reinforced by the way we lead them. They don't see us. We lead from a distance, which ain't leadership. Is that how you care about somebody? Answer to that is no. Right? We don't know what they're going through. We don't understand where they came from. Right? Yeah, well, they grew up in a divorced family. It's not that easy. Mom had a boyfriend. He lived with us for 3 years, and he moved out. 3 years later, she had another boyfriend. Right? He and his two kids moved in. They stayed with us for 4 years, and they moved. So it's not just divorced, right? It's not just, they grew up in daycare full time. So they're different from me. And if you don't understand that, right, then you're probably screwing this up. Okay? You roll that all together and you layer on top of that a leader that doesn't see them. And what do you get? You get isolation. But the good news is this, as I say all the time, the good news is that we can change this. We can change this. PhDs who have gotten my crosshairs lately. Again, just because you have a mental health program doesn't mean it's a good one. And again, you can see 66% of the therapies used for post-traumatic stress disorder are 66% of those are failing, according to, you know, a study, right? By New York University School of Medicine, 66%. And so who's doing this? Well, we have mental health programs throughout the Marine Corps. They're stood up by what? Very credentialed PhDs, right? One of the things that you constantly hear when I interview people about post-traumatic winning is this. I so did not fucking want to go to your shit that day. I was so fucking pissed. And this is Marines saying this, and they say it all the time, right? They walk in, and if you stand in the foyer, that's all you hear. Fuck, what is this? Well, how does that get in their head? Because the shit they go to doesn't speak to them. You know, it's a program, yeah. So I guess you could show somebody that you did something. Is it effective? No. How do you know that? Ask the fucking Marines. They'll tell you. They hate that shit. So there's this disconnect between the people who run the mental health programs and the consumer. I got asked a year ago last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, when I gave this at the General Officer Symposium, and I'm not going to give the general's name because I don't want to embarrass him. And he looks at me and goes, Mac, how do we scale this? Oh, what do you mean, sir? How do we make it so that everybody can do this? You don't. If you want to kill it, that's how you do it. Oh, well, that's a problem. Oh, it's a problem because you can't produce a fucking DVD and send it to everybody and have everybody understand this shit and get it? No, let me tell you the problem, sir. You're the fucking problem, general, 4-star type. You're the fucking problem because you don't get it. So it works if there's a DVD and a PhD did it and we're going to give everybody a script and everybody's going to do this shit. And that way, hey, everybody got the information, right? So our ass is covered. Does it work? Fuck no. the number just continues to go up, right? So what you have is you have commanding officers that hide behind PhD, right? The Marines hate it. The number goes up. But am I going to step in front of the PhD and say, this shit isn't working? I'm tired of it. We got to do something else. Fuck no. Want to know why? Because that risks the franchise. I've been doing this for 14 months now. The biggest impediment to me going and speaking is PhDs. Yeah, that guy doesn't know anything. He had a lawyer in the Marine Corps say exactly that, right? Located pretty high up. How can this guy know anything? He doesn't have an advanced degree. And if you're the commanding officer, you're going to say, yeah, too bad. I'm going to bring him in here anyway. The answer is no, that doesn't help. Because general officers are risk averse. Final thing I'll tell you is footnotes to the 20% decline in Marine Corps suicide. Why was the 2nd Marine Division able to cut their suicide in half, to cut their suicide attempts in half, to increase their suicide ideations by 50%? I would tell you two primary reasons in addition to post-traumatic winning. One, General Furness mandated that they hold two formations a day. So people got to see people, force contact. Senior enlisted people saw their junior Marines. Second is he rolled in on the Marine Corps counseling order, which says you got to counsel and I'm going to hold you personally responsible. When these kids come in front of me, I'm going to look to see if they've been counseled. So I don't care what level of NJP we're doing, right? If I see that they haven't been counseled, right, in addition to them being punished for what they did, I'm going to get up your ass too. You need to sit down and you need to do your job on our most important asset, which is our human being. Okay? So we're actually going to do the things we're supposed to do, which is what? That's how you lead. You lead by seeing them every day, taking their temperature. How you doing? Why do you look like shit today, McNamara? Well, my wife left over the weekend. What? All right. After formation, you come see me. All right. I mean, and if you don't see him, you're not going to find that shit out. All right. Maybe they'll tell their fire team leader, but maybe they won't. But if you're an experienced leader, all of a sudden McNamara, who runs his suck all the time, all of a sudden he's not saying shit. Yeah. That's how that happens. All right. Andy Milburn standing by. And let me just, I didn't do shithole weather today. So let me go through it real quick. From Massachusetts, Chris Cox. He's actually skiing again. And I know this is going to stun Dave in Vacaville, who doesn't think Chris Cox works. Shithole weather is Oscar Mike. Crotch Mountain in Francistown, New Hampshire. It's pronounced crotched. Crotch Ed. The ski area is eponymously, disability is synonymous, disability service organization. We're affiliated at one time with First Place. My grandparents brought me skiing. I don't even know what that means. 23 degrees there, wherever the hell in New Hampshire it is. Looking for a high of 34. The skies are going to be blue. The winds are going to be calm. Expected to be a nice day. Okay, so that's from New Hampshire. From Hickory, North. What an awesome picture. Currently 41, sunny to partly cloudy in Hickory, North Carolina. Looking for a high of 57. Winds out of the east at 5 to 10. Overnight low of 45 with a 40% chance of rain. Photo is my brother, my son, and myself when he was commissioned in 2015. Wow. So you got First Sergeant. Master Sergeant, I think. I can't see. And Lieutenant. Nice. That's an awesome picture. Right? From Saskatchewan. Happy Monday. Currently light snow. Winds are out of the northwest at 10. Temperature is up 9 above. So it feels like zero. By mid-afternoon, it'll be mostly cloudy with winds increasing to 22 and a high of 7. So it'll feel like 9 below. From Nancy in Pennsylvania at airtime, it's partly cloudy and 31. partly sunny in 31. On the way to 36, winds are calm. Enjoy the day, everyone, from Nancy. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Andy Milburn, who's patiently standing by, going to join us. So don't touch that dial. We're going to talk to him about a number of things. His recently concluded trip to Somalia, Marine Raiders from First Raiders moving from the West Coast to the East Coast. Why is that important? And why is that a good thing? Or is it? And then he just went and spoke at Command and Staff College. And so we're going to talk to Andy about that, about disobeying orders. And I've said a number of times, I think it speaks highly for whoever the guy is who's running Command and Staff College that he would bring Andy in, because a lot of people would not. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.